at a little picture of the Apostle Peter's life in John 21. And the verses are printed here, and I'll just kind of like tell the story, and you can look down at different times, and just kind of follow along as we kind of go through this. We're looking at Peter at a time when he has actually been through quite a lot. And, you know, almost everyone that I talk to has been through quite a lot. One time I talked to a junior high person, they've been through quite a lot. High school, oh my, do high schoolers go through quite a lot. And one time I was talking to a college person, he said, I go through an unusual amount of things, peculiar. Older people, you don't know what goes on in my family, a lot of things. And somehow, a lot of people feel like they're kind of this island. I'm going through a lot, and you look out, and everyone is having this normal life. Well, Peter has been through a lot. Imagine this, called by the Lord. You know, he's fishing, he's called by the Lord. And he went through a lot of experiences with the Lord, and he learned a lot of lessons. You know, he saw Jesus feed the 5,000. He heard him give the sermon, on the so-called Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit, and he was sent out by Jesus. He was rebuked by Jesus. Jesus called him Satan one time, and went through up and down, and he got really zealous for the Lord one time. He said, Lord, even if nobody else follows you, I'll follow you. And then he heard the words from the Lord. Satan has asked me to sift you like wheat. And when you come back, when you return, restore your brothers. And then he really failed. There's a little girl came up to him and said, I know you are with him. And this great apostle at that time just miserably failed. And he denied the Lord and he swore. He's been through a lot. Then he saw the Lord in resurrection. Saw him appear, and Jesus did this there. Receive the Holy Spirit. And he said, as the Father has sent me, Mark, I send you. Whoever sins, you forgive. They'll be forgiven. Whoever sins, you retain. They are retained. Okay, all of this is under Peter's belt. Talk about an emotional roller coaster. Oh my goodness. Go from highs to lows and all these kinds of things. And then the Lord says, go, Galilee, wait there. That's where we're meeting Peter right now. Been through a lot. Well, he's there. And if you look at verse 21, Thomas was there. Nathanael, sons of Zebedee, that's James and John. And two other disciples were there. And they were waiting for the Lord. Waiting. Lord told them to go to Galilee, so they should wait. Simon Peter said to them, this is verse 3, I am going fishing. They said to him, we also are coming with you. I like King James with this one. I go a fishing. And, you know, commentators kind of differ on what does this mean. Some people say, what an example of industriousness. He didn't have idle hands. He had a little free time, and he filled it. Other commentators say, this is not that positive of a thing. I'm going fishing. I tend to agree with this later set of commentators. I'll give you four reasons. Number one, the Lord said, I send you. And whoever sins you retain, you know, they're going to be retained. Whoever sins you forgive, you know, there's a commission there. And, you know, he could be with the brothers on the boat, but he wouldn't be necessarily forgiving or not forgiving sins. He wouldn't be fulfilling his sending. Second thing is, you know, second reason is, you know, we're going to see this later scene. Jesus gives them breakfast, and all the disciples were kind of like just afraid to ask, is this really the Lord? This is after the fishing expedition. So a little bit of shame, a little bit of fear there. Third thing is Jesus asked Peter all these questions. Do you love me? He's trying to get something in Peter, trying to get something, bring him forward. And finally, the fourth reason, the final thing that Peter learned in this whole episode is when you were younger, you went where you wanted to go. But when you're older, another will gird you. You will put out your hand and another will lead you. In other words, this whole episode might have been Peter's good idea. So anyway, think of this. Tim, come here. Woe to you who sit in the second row. Lord gave you a lot. I send you. I've given you the Holy Spirit. I've sent you, and you are my continuation. And then what do you say? Use the King James Version.
I go fishing.
Yeah. I go fishing. And if you think of it, you got seven people in that boat there. And that's 7/11 of the future of the church in that fishing boat. I go fishing. And I like the artistry of how the Lord would intervene. How the Lord would intervene in their life. If it were me, I would be like, just come on. You know all those lessons, all those ways. Shape up. Maybe a little hole in the boat from heaven. Something like that. Thank you, Tim. Sit down. But no. That's really not how the Lord works. I like the story. I like it. It's kind of like this. They're fishing the whole night. And they're about, is it 200 cubits or about a football field, 300 yards out. And this guy just appears on the side of the lake. Well, they're a fishing. And the fishing didn't go so well. They fished the whole night. Caught nothing. Then they hear, you know, 100 yards. Imagine somebody at one end of a football field speaking to you at the other end. He wouldn't be saying like, hey, how's it going? He'd be like, do you have any fish? But better than that, better. Children. Do you have any fish? You can read it, right? Read. Little children. If I was reading the Bible, I would say like, hey kids, how's that going for you? Hey kiddies, do you have any fish? How's it going for you? I love it. You ever just kind of go fishing? Then this stranger comes, like, hey kids! It's kind of like this. I can't mess up your hair. Hey kids! I used to hate that. Hey kids, how's that going for you? Do you have any fish? And then, little advice. Hey, how about you put the net on the other side? They put the net on the other side, and they encompass all these fish. And then at that time, you know, before that, nobody knew it was the Lord. Nobody knew it was the Lord. And as soon as they got that 153 fish, you know what John said? That's the Lord. Have you ever tasted that? Remember that time in '08? We really touched the Lord. And then I've been dry. I've been kind of going fishing. And then I heard something. Hey, kid. How about you do the other way? And then you get the fish and you're like, I know this is Jesus. I know it's Jesus. And Peter just jumps out and swims to the Lord. He was naked, put something on. He swims to the Lord. And the Lord is there on land. Have some breakfast. There's fish, there's bread on the coals already. He says, hey, bring something from your catch and just have some breakfast. You know, it's kind of like the Lord Jesus is about to do some kind of like surgical operation in his life. You know, this will come with those questions, etc. But the way he appeared to Peter was really incredible. You know, the first thing the Lord would want to do with you after you've gone fishing, there's no spank, there's no lightning bolt, there's not even a, let's have an honest talk. It's kind of like this. Look at this. This is amazing. Read this verse. Look at verse 13. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. You know who fed? It's the Lord Jesus. There's the Lord Jesus. Not even the thought of like, okay, you dug your hole, you got to get out of it. Feed yourself. I like that scene. You know, the Lord Jesus just is there, and they know it's the Lord. And this is what the Lord says. You know, all you guys, you seven guys, just sit down. Don't move, sit back. Lord Jesus, stoop down. No stove out there. It's beside the, you know, it's on charcoal. Lord Jesus, just stoop down. Break the fish. And come right over. Here. Take this. I want you to eat. You know, I don't have breakfast. I have a lot of problems during the day. My temper is a little shorter. My kids will get a response from dad, maybe inappropriate at times. And sometimes I think, okay, I gotta work on that. But you just give me a little breakfast, some food. You know, I'm different. I have a way to be with my family. I have a way to be with people around me. And what's the difference? There's something in my stomach, and I'm just restful. If I don't have lunch, and then you have a lunch appointment with me at 4 o'clock, I can hardly think straight. And sometimes I'm studying the Bible at 4 o'clock, I didn't have lunch, and then somebody says, you know, what about this? Does this mean that? And I'm like, I just can't get my mind to think I can't argue with people. I can't do this. You know, and you think, well, what's the whole problem? What's the problem? Well, you can analyze all the things you want to about, looking things from this perspective. Maybe I got to change my heart in this way. The Lord knows the problem. You need fish in your stomach. Just eat. Just eat. Sometimes, this is my personal testimony, sometimes I study the Bible a lot with people during the day. And it's weird because then I think, okay, I don't need to be with the Lord in the morning. Alone. Because I study the Bible with people sometimes, 5 hours a day. I should get my food that way. And it's weird. I miss that time in the morning. And I'm somehow, I'll still yell at my kids. Not get through. Wow. The Lord is one of his big concerns. Is there a fish in your stomach right now? Before coming back to him, before getting to a deeper thing, is there a fish in your stomach? And who's going to do that? It's the Lord himself. He's just going to sit down, bend down, break the fish himself, and say, you know, I'm really concerned for you. You know what you need to do right now? Is just eat. Just eat. Just eat. And then you think, well, why doesn't he just tell him everything about how he went fishing, how he was bad about that? No, no, no. That's not his first concern. His first concern, do you have some food in your stomach? Then you have food. Peter had food. And then comes the question. Then when they had eaten breakfast, this is verse 15, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. So I like to go a little slow here. You know, some of you know there are two Greek words for love. One is agape, and one is phileo. And the Lord asked the question, do you agape me more than these? And then Simon Peter responds, Lord, I phileo you. Okay, that's the general structure here. So, Lord says, do you agape me more than these? More than these. Some people say it's a fish. I think it makes much more sense. It's more than these disciples love me. In other words, Peter, do you agape me more than all these other disciples? You know why I think that makes sense? Because think about Peter's life. Lord, if everyone doesn't follow you, I will. And the Lord's just like having this conversation. Let's poke him a little bit in a loving way. Do you agape me more than these disciples agape me? And agape is, you could say it's kind of a higher sense of love. Let me read you a little definition. It values and esteems. It's an unselfish love. Ready to serve. And Peter doesn't respond with this agape, but he says, I phileo you. And we shouldn't think phileo is like a bad thing. Let me read you a definition of phileo. He cherishes the object above all else. That's pretty good. Do you agape me, love, to the point of being ready to serve? And then Peter says, I cherish you, Lord, as an object above all else. Let me read you another one. Manifest an affection characterized by constancy. In other words, Lord, I'm a long-term affectionate person towards you. From the motive of highest veneration. Lord, I venerate you in the highest way. So the Lord is like this. Do you agape me more than these? Do you have a love that is ready to serve? And Peter's like this. I am really supremely affectionate towards you. I like the next part. The Lord's response. Because the Lord could have said this. Okay, now we see the difference. Now we see that you don't, in fact, agape me more than these. And you do, in fact, phileo me. Let's work on that. Okay, let's work on turning phileo into agape. Wouldn't that be great? Let's work on turning phileo into agape. Because I ask, do you agape me? Are you a special lover of me? More than these. And you say, oh, I'm really affectionate towards you. The Lord did not take that turn of, let's work on your heart. You know what he did? Feed my lambs. It doesn't make sense. You know what would make sense? Sit down on my couch. Let's talk. Exam. No, it wasn't the Lord's intention to bring him to agape in this instance. He just wanted him to know, do you agape me more than these? And then Peter realized, I phileo you. And the Lord said, you know what? Go feed. Oh, sorry. Yeah, feed my lamb. It's kind of like the Lord is just talking about his heart. What is he worried about? In this verse, he's not worried about you going from phileo to agape. He says, go feed my lambs. Go feed my lambs. You know, a big part of the Christian life in this whole scene, the whole intervention of Jesus' life, of Jesus into Peter's life, was almost for this statement. Feed my lamb. It's boring. I just admit it. It's boring. One time, I was in a volcano in Hawaii, on the top of an extinct volcano in Hawaii. And I was alone. Okay, totally alone. I might have told this. I don't know if I told this story before. I was totally alone. And I spent the night there. I camped all by myself, alone. And I saw the sun. The volcano was above the clouds. And I saw the sun rise above the clouds of the volcano. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever been. The most beautiful place I've ever been. Wow. And I said this. Lord, now's the time. Speak to me, Lord. Tell me, Lord, the meaning of my life. Reveal it now, in this setting. Do it, Lord. And you know what I got? Nothing. It's kind of like the scene. Lord, you ask agape, and I say phileo, and then you say, feed my lamb. What's the connection? It's a little bit into the Lord's heart. Oh my goodness. Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. It's kind of like, you know, one time somebody asked me, how do you conduct spiritual warfare? How do you conduct spiritual warfare? And I thought about it for a little bit. It's like, how do I conduct spiritual warfare? And then I finally came back to him. It's like, you know what I do? I just go pass out invitations.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you know, that is much better for me than trying to send a missile to some demon. I don't know what it is. And it's much better than trying to make my phileo into agape. You just feed some lambs. Jesus did it. I like Jesus. You know, he fed lambs. You know what you gotta do to feed lambs? You gotta find lambs. And sometimes finding lambs is just a matter of like, look to your left. Everyone look to your left. That's a possible lamb. You know, it's a possible lamb. And a lamb, you know, you just feed lambs. It's really enjoyable to feed lambs. It's just kind of like, you just read the Bible with them. And you don't say too much. Don't say too much. And don't think you know too much. You just like kind of like read with them. And if they say, what's this mean? You may say something like, I don't know. And then you just read the Bible. Because what, a lamb, they just need a little milk. Little milk. And then you got to find the lambs. And Jesus had a life of finding the lambs. I appreciate Jesus. You know, if I were Jesus, I would have done it differently. I would be like, okay, John, Peter, Bartholomew, Thomas, Andrew, all you guys, you go out and find the people. And you get it, you get rejected, you go, you know, you do all this, and bring me the promising one. And I will minister to them. But Jesus was not in that way at all. Sometimes he just had this like dinner with a bunch of sinners, and he was even called a whatever, wine something, wine bibber, that's the old way. You know, so he was sitting there with people, drinking wine, and talking to them. And you ask, well, what kind of benefit did that give him? I don't know. But Jesus made cold calls. He didn't delegate that. He made cold calls. What? Find the lambs. Find the lambs. You know, I was trying to do this a couple months ago. We in Cleveland Heights, we opened this bookstore. It's kind of a way that it's closed now, but we're kind of trying to reach out to people. And then I was like, oh no, we opened this bookstore, so I gotta go out into the neighborhoods and, you know, go knock on doors or pass out invites, and it got a little rusty. And so I did this experiment. It's like, okay. I was reading this book by R.A. Torrey with his brother, and it's about leading men to Christ. And he said, one of the things that you need to have is a heart that feels the plight of someone who is going to hell. You have to have that heart. And I was like, oh, boy, my heart's a little dusty. Sometimes, be honest, like, if you don't come here, I see one less problem in my life. You know, like, oh, okay. Dust that off, you know. And then he went on and said this. He said, if you do not have this heart, you should ask the Holy Spirit for this heart, and he will give it to you. And I was like, that is too simple. That's too simple. And so I asked the Lord, Can I have a heart that feels what it's like for the people around me to go to hell? And we prayed that a little bit. Then I was passing out. It's like, oh my goodness, it came. And then I cross the street, talk to this woman, and it doesn't end prettily. I mean, she didn't get saved. She didn't, I'm sorry, I don't have that kind of story. But I talked to her. And there's just something about that kind of life. You know, the Lord would do a lot to intervene in your life. And then he would even ask you, do you agape me more than all these other guys? Do you love me exceptionally? And you can say, oh, I flail you. And he'd say, now here's the secret. You know what the secret is? Go out and feed my lambs. And say, well, what about his heart? What about his heart? I don't know. The Lord wasn't worried about it. Just go. Just go. And you have this kind of life. You have this kind of exercise. And wow, what a refreshing time. Last night, it's 10 o'clock. I got a phone call from a friend who was in town. And then he said, Rex, can you meet me? And so I was like, ooh, okay. And then he had another friend. And then, hey, last night, I was with two sinners. And you know what? It was so good. It was so good. Just hanging around sinners. Why? Feed my lamb. Feed my lamb. You say, it's so basic. Oh, no, 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 no. That's why the Lord intervened in your life. Lord lowers his standard for the next question. If you look at this. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Look, notice, there's no more than these. More than these. Do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. It's almost like that first time, Lord asked him, are you super special? Do you love me more than me? And this time, the bar goes down just a little bit. Okay, you just agape me. Nothing special. And Peter replied with the same thing. I phileo you. I am full of affection for you. You're number one, Lord. And the Lord says, shepherd my sheep. Shepherd my sheep. Oh my goodness. What a life. Shepherding sheep. What a life. You know the most frustrating thing about shepherding sheep? Is they are so, so naughty. And it's really hard to handle sheep. It's really hard to handle sheep. You kind of tell them, go north, and they go south. You kind of tell them, you should eat this food. And they say, it doesn't taste that good. And you kind of tell them, you should not do that in your life. And they just go ahead and do it. And then, sometimes, you try to shepherd sheep by saying, okay, I'm just going to tell you what to do. And then you find out, you're telling them what to do is exactly the wrong thing that they need. And then other times, you just tell them, just follow the Lord. And then, the sheep turn up, they don't have any idea what to do. And shepherding sheep is a very difficult thing. It's very difficult. And there's a kind of danger when you're shepherding sheep. This is the danger. I tried it once. It didn't work. So Lord, I phileo you. You're it, Lord. I tried this shepherding thing. It's for others. It's for others. But Lord, I'm affectionate towards you. Yeah. It's kind of like that. With this one brother, oh my. It's like so inside. I'm trying to shepherd him. I have no idea how. I might kill him. I don't know. Spiritually. I mean, maybe physically too. Anyway, it's like, he just won't do anything because he's waiting for the Lord to speak to him. And it's like, you know, waiting to not anything apart from faith is sin. You ever hear that verse? Yeah. So anyway, I don't want to make a step into sin. It's apart from faith. It's like, boy, how do you shepherd somebody like that? Sometimes you shepherd, I don't know, it's like, it's great that he has a heart for the Lord, but actually, he'll just be in his closet for the rest of his life. And then, eventually just get bored with the whole thing. Oh, yeah, you just have to realize, oh, shepherding sheep. And then sometimes, you shepherd somebody, and you just tell them the wrong thing. It's very bad. I blame you for this marriage! Oh, no! But then, how do you do it? How do you do it? You know what? You just got to keep trying. There is no class that will teach you. No message that you can hear that will do it. But you know what the Lord's secret is? In his heart, why he intervened in Peter's life, why he did all this, why he took all those pains, is just to tell him this boring message. Tim, shepherd my sheep. Oh, how boring. How boring. How boring. Finally, Lord asks one more question. It gets a little deeper. The Lord changes his word for love. Says this. Says him a third time. Simon, son of John, do you love me? And that's, do you phileo me? Peter was grieved. Peter was sad. He was sad. It's kind of like this. Mark, I'll meet you at Starbucks on Saturday. I'll meet you at Starbucks on Saturday, 2 o'clock. Then Mark might say, Rex, will you meet me at Red Lobster? And I'm like, Mark, I'll meet you at Starbucks. Or George's Kitchen. And then he's like, Rex, will you meet me at Starbucks at 2 o'clock? It's kind of like this feeling like, Lord, I've been saying this. I've been telling you. Yeah. I didn't get agape, but I've been telling you, phileo. If I would say, Mark, I'll meet you at Starbucks at 2 o'clock on Saturday, and Mark would say, Rex, will you meet me at Starbucks at 2 o'clock? I would say, Mark, why don't you just slap me in the face? I just told you. And then you ask about it. Kind of sad. Peter did not quite know himself. He didn't know. And the Lord was like, you know, do you agape me more than me? Do you love me with the highest veneration? Fit to serve in any way? And Peter's like, no, but I have a lot of affection towards you. And then the Lord just said, you know what? You really don't. You really don't. You think you do. But I have to ask a question again. And there's somewhat of a grief, sadness. And there could be a feeling, Lord, I can't do anything for you. No? I say go fishing. I couldn't catch fish. I had to wait for this unknown stranger on the other side of the bank to say, put your fish, put your net in the other side. Then we caught fish. I couldn't make breakfast. I couldn't serve you breakfast, Lord. You had to stoop down and feed me. I couldn't even accurately describe my relation with you. You asked me agape. I was so sure, phileo. And now, Lord, you asked me phileo. I realized, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. But again, Lord did not address it. It's like, yeah, I am. Lord, did you ever feel that way? Like, Lord, I almost even tried to leave you and I couldn't. I realized another hand holding. I thought, at least I'm this way with you. And then you ask that question. And I realize, I'm not even that way. Who's feeding who? Lord has to feed me. Whose perception is accurate? It's the Lord's. Not even me, about me. Lord, I just need you. I just need you. And then there's that little transition. Eighteen, truly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. Where you wish. Peter, that's you. You're girding yourself. You're going wherever you wish. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish to go. Peter, there's a certain life I'm describing about you. You. Another, and will carry you where you don't wish to go. And that talks about his death, the death in which he glorifies God. This last charge that the Lord has with the do you phileo me? The Lord ends with feed my sheep. And if you get the pattern here, first is feed my lamb. Next is shepherd my sheep. Third, feed my sheep. Feed the sheep. Lambs. Just read the Bible with them. shepherding sheep, oh, just deal with the frustrations, go forward. But feed my sheep takes a lot more. Do you have food for sheep? Sheep. Food for sheep. There's something about a brother. You can get next to him. And he may not even say a word, but you sense, there's some food. Where's that flavor? Where's that sense? Where's that something come from? Maybe that brother found out my phileo is not a phileo at all. I don't want to go where I will, Lord. Here, But oh, what a flavor it comes out. Feed my sheep. And some taste of the Lord, taste of the Spirit, taste of the work of the Lord. This is Peter's life. And then at the end, follow me. Tim, let me tell you something glorious. Your death. That's what it says, right? Your death will glorify God. Wow. Jeremiah, next year, you know what could really glorify God? Your death. And you would say, what do I get out of this whole thing? You get a lot of glory. And the sheep get fed. And we follow the Lord. What? And let me tell you, you taste this life. There's nothing like this on the face of the earth. This kind of life. Anyway, let's follow the Lord. You know, he takes a lot of pains to tell you very boring things. Follow me. Feed my lambs. You know what that means? You should go. Don't record this. You should go and drink wine with people. No, I didn't. I'm just describing the Lord. You should go. Be with sinners. Find lambs. Shepherd. Reap. And then you went, but I don't agape. I only phileo. And the Lord would say, oh, just shepherd some sheep. Go for it. They say, I don't agape more than these. I only phileo. It's like, just go. Just go find some lambs. Read the Bible with them. And you say like, oh yeah, I don't even phileo. The Lord asks me, do you phileo? It's like, yeah, I phileo. And I get really sad. And the Lord says, oh, just go feed sheep. What a life we have with the Lord. Oh, and I can testify. I'll just end with this little testimony. Wow. I can testify how much I have personally been saved year after year, year after year, with just this one thing. You know what I want to do? I want to feed lambs.
Amen.
Oh, you have an opinion about that? I don't even know. I just want to feed some lambs. Oh, you think this is wrong? Oh, I don't know. I'm trying to shepherd this sheep. It's so naughty. Oh, yeah. I'm just feeding lambs. You know, sometimes I just want to break. Sometimes I get inspired, and then this is a bad thing to do. I got inspired, and I was trying to preach the gospel to the lambs in my grocery store. I go to the grocery store. There's Henry there, and I want Henry to come to church. You know, he's this guy. He's a teenager. He likes cars, et cetera, et cetera. And I invited him a couple times, and then... You know, and then, so this is one of my lamb. I want my lamb to come, you know. And then sometimes I want to go to the grocery store just to take a break. Just to take a break. I mean, I need to buy groceries, but I don't want to do any spiritual things. And then I go there, and you know who's there? Henry! It's like, oh man, I wanted to just buy groceries. And now I got to think about, like, should I talk to Henry? Should I not? What should I say to him? You know who saved me? My lamb. I'm not worried about the phileo, agape, et cetera, et cetera. I gotta talk to Henry. What a life. Feed my sheep. Feed my lamb. Shepherd my sheep. Feed my sheep. And what a life the Lord will give us like this. I'll end there.
Sometime you might be with a lamb, and one day I was having a conversation with the Lord, walking in, I believe, the building here, and I said, Lord, what can I do? I just feel I'm not getting anywhere with this particular lamb. And the Lord said, be with him. That's all he said, be with him. Mm-hmm. No more, don't think about what you can do or what you can say, but make yourself available mm-hmm. to that one, that's all. And a lot came from it, just mm-hmm. being there. And sometimes it takes that day after day after day for 365 days to see something at the end of 365 days that you can't see every day. But it accumulates our labor, and something does come of it. Mm-hmm. Even though we don't know what to say or do, the Lord will honor that, and he will, that lamb will be fed. Mm-hmm.